Today, our scripture reading is found in the book of Exodus. We are in the middle of a series of messages on the book of Exodus, and today we're going to be in chapter 14, and I'm going to read some selected verses, and I'll be referring back to these verses through the message, so you might want to keep your Bibles handy, whether they are on a smartphone in your palm of your hand, or if you need a Bible, there should be one located in the back of the pew in front of you if you didn't bring one today. Allow me to pray this prayer of illumination for us. Guide us, O God, by your word and your Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, and in your truth, Lord, find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. All made possible to us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Exodus 14, beginning with verses 1 through 6, and then 10 through 18. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to turn back and camp in front of Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, in front of Baal-Zephon. You shall camp opposite it by the sea. Pharaoh will say of the Israelites, 'They are wandering aimlessly in the land. The wilderness has closed in on them.' I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them so that I will gain glory for myself over Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord." And they did so. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the minds of Pharaoh and his officials were changed toward the people. And they said, "What have we done, letting Israel leave our service?" So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him, taking 600 hand-picked chariots and the officers of them. Verse 10. As Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked back, and there were the Egyptians advancing on them. In great fear, the Israelites cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the very thing we told you in Egypt? Let us alone, and let us serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." But Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You have only to keep still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry out to me? Tell the Israelites to go forward. But you lift up your staff and stretch out over your hand over the sea and divide it, that the Israelites may go into the sea on dry ground. Then I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And so I will gain glory for myself over Pharaoh and all of his army, his chariots and his chariot drivers. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained glory for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his chariot drivers." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Well, today we pick up our story of the Israelites, and they are finally on the way out of Egypt. Moses has gone before Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh says, "I will not let you go. Let me go. Let me go. I will not let you go." Sounds sort of like a Queen song, doesn't it? But finally, after the 10th plague, Pharaoh says, get up and go. Get out of here. You're causing too many problems. Go. And so here in chapter 14, we finally get to the exit of Exodus. There is actually an Exodus taking place. And as they exit Egypt, the Israelites find out quick that following God's ways aren't a cakewalk. There's no yellow brick road leading Israel out of Egypt to the promised land. How will they move forward when there are challenges and oppositions along the way? That's what I want us to think about for a few moments this morning. Maybe from our perspective, from our side of things, is how do we gain forward momentum in the Christian life? Well, in this story, I think we're confronted with two truths about the Christian life. I mean, look back at Exodus, the first few chapters. So the Lord tells the Israelites to turn back and to camp in between these different locations in the wilderness. And in verse 3, it says, Pharaoh will say of the Israelites, they are wandering aimlessly. And in some translations, it says they are wandering in confusion. Wandering and confusion. Have you ever experienced these things before in your Christian life? You ever felt like sometimes I'm just wandering? I don't really know where I'm going. I don't know how this situation is going to work itself out. I don't know, God. I'm confused about how you're working through this. You're walking with God, and it feels like wandering. It feels like confusion about which direction to go. The clarity that you want, you're not getting. It's not as easy as you thought it would be. Yeah, many of us, we go, especially when we begin the Christian life, and granted, there's a lot of us here today that have been on this Christian walk for a while, but we know that whether it's just beginning or we've been at it for a very long time, that we find ourselves in these seasons, and this truth is a reality for us. And the first truth is this: the Christian life can be really hard. It can be. People look at you confused sometimes, especially for those who haven't experienced God the way that you have. Maybe they're confused about why your life is the way that it is. You have this amazing life-changing encounter with God where He is so real to you, and there is nothing more than you want to do than to follow Him and to live in obedience to His Word. You've tried living life your way, and it didn't work out so well for you. Now you're living in God's Word. You're going to church. You're studying the Bible with other believers, and your friends and your family, they don't seem to get it. You know, I remember when I first started following Jesus, there were a lot of people that wondered that about me because they knew the life I lived before Jesus was a part of it. And they said, what has happened to Jimmy? I mean, something is different here. They were confused. Maybe people thought that about you. Or maybe you have experienced a crisis in your life. You're going through a really difficult life change. And to the outside world, they don't understand how you can face a crisis and not completely fall apart. People are confused about why you have a sense of peace inside when everything on the outside says that you shouldn't. Confusion. Now, what about these Israelites wandering in the wilderness? I mean, we will discover over the next several chapters that they seem to not know exactly where they're going. Y'all, sometimes we spend seasons in life like that. God, what's your purpose for my life? God, what do you want me to do? How am I supposed to handle this situation and get past this problem, Lord? It seems like I keep having the same struggles. Y'all, when we face things like that, it feels like we're wandering. Things aren't as clear as we hope they would be. God, what is your will for my family, my job, my retirement? You see, the Christian life isn't as easy as we thought it would be. Jesus, when we start following Him, He doesn't make all of our problems go away. Jesus doesn't promise to make all your wishes come true. If we're really honest with ourselves, there are even times when God doesn't seem as good as we thought. I mean, life can be hard. The truth of the matter is, the Christian life can cause us to wrestle with questions like this. We can feel that there is an enemy pursuing us. There's a force. There is something at work against us trying to destroy and undermine our faith. The Israelites experienced this. I mean, look back at verses 5 through 9. So when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the minds of Pharaoh and his officials were changed. They were saying, what have we done letting the Israelites leave our service? And so Pharaoh summons his army and those 600 chariots. And we discover a second truth about the Christian life, that our old life constantly pursues us, trying to pull us back. You know, when the Israelites, they left, I love what verse 8 says. It says, the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he pursued the Israelites who were going out boldly. Can you imagine them leaving Egypt boldly and what that must have been like? In other words, they left Egypt with a pep in their step. I mean, they were prancing out. They had plundered the Egyptians, and here they are. They're being just set free, the shackles removed, the doors opened, the gates made wide, and out the Israelites go, and there is a lot of pep in their step. They are bebopping across the wilderness, ready to conquer the world. And then somebody looks in the rearview mirror. Uh-oh. There's Pharaoh. There's his army. There's those shackles. They're coming back with them. Here are their old problems. The old ways. The old struggles. They are coming in pursuit of them. You see, we are familiar with this reality too. We experience an amazing retreat. Or we go to a conference. Or we hear a great sermon on a podcast. And we get fired up and we want to live differently. We want to live out the truths of what we've heard. We're excited. There's a pep in our Christian step. Then a few days go by, and the old ways, they start to creep back in. We get back home from the service or the retreat, and guess what? The world hasn't changed like we have. All those old problems, they're still there. You may feel like the Israelites in this story. Notice what they do. As Pharaoh drew near, in verse 10, it says, the Israelites, they looked back, and there were the Egyptians advancing on them, and in great fear, the Israelites, they cried to the Lord, and they said to Moses, why have you brought us here? You should have just left us alone, Moses. What have you done in bringing us out of Egypt? And so the question that I want us to think about next is this, is how do we keep the momentum and keep moving forward when there are these challenges? When we realize the Christian life is hard, when we realize how our old ways are always pursuing us, how do we break the cycle? How do we get out of the rut and gain momentum? Well, look at what Moses says. Moses gives them a two-verse sermon. That's pretty good. Two verses. He gives it to them in verses 13 and 14. Look at what Moses says. But Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You have only to keep still. And he said, amen, gave the benediction. There's his sermon right there. But Moses in the story, he is the wise leader who has been walking with God longer than a lot of the rest of them. He knows what God has done and who God has been. Moses has went before Pharaoh. He has given the message that God has told him to give. He's had his doubts. He's wrestled with God about those things, but he has seen God work and move through the plagues and by making a way for them. And he shares his wisdom with them, and he tells them three little things here, and I want you to focus on these. Maybe you need to write them down today. Is how do we break the cycle? How do we continue the momentum of our Christian walk when things get challenging and tough and uncertain and confused? The first thing Moses says do is stand firm. Now, we've heard this before. We see this throughout Scripture. Moses says, stand firm. You see, sometimes we want to go back to our old ways. Sometimes we want to give up. We want to wave the white flag when it gets tough and challenging. This whole faith thing takes discipline, doesn't it? And it's hard work. And Moses says, stand firm. To illustrate this, let me talk a minute about football. Y'all like football. We like football, don't we? Watched a lot of it this weekend. We saw a good football game on Friday night here in Clinton. In football, often the greatest offensive move is to stand firm. Now, what am I talking about? The offensive line. You know, a good offensive line, they hold firm against the defense. They don't let the opponent penetrate beyond the line of scrimmage towards their quarterback. They stand firm and they hold the line. And if they just do that, we say they're doing enough. They're doing a great job. And the QB has all day long to throw the ball and conduct the offense. Y'all, Clinton, our football team, did a pretty good job of that on Friday night against Starkville. And we were able to win the game because we won the lines of scrimmage in that game. We stood firm. And y'all, the lesson here for us is don't give up and don't give ground to the enemy, even if the way forward for you is unclear. Don't go back. But stand. Wait. Be still. Be patient. And wait for the Lord to give you clarity about your next step. Maybe that's where you are right now. And you are thinking about retreating, going back to what you know used to work for you, even though it didn't get you the result that you were hoping for. Stay true to God and His Word. Stand firm on it. Keep praying. Believe in time that God will show you what you need to do. Stand firm. Second thing Moses says do, he says to the Israelites here, he says that they should not fear. But in essence, they should choose faith in the midst of their fear. Moses says, stand firm, do not fear. Y'all, fear is a human response. It's part of our humanity to be afraid in life. Our circumstances sometimes can lead us to fear. There's nothing wrong with being afraid sometimes. It is totally natural. And there are a lot of common fears that we face in our Christian walk. One is that we fear opposition. What will people think about me? What will people think if I choose God's ways over the advice and the ways that everybody else is telling me? We fear that people will oppose us if we stand upon the truth of God's Word. Sometimes in life we fear making the wrong move. What if I get it wrong? What if I didn't hear God the way I think I heard Him? And so it can paralyze us. We even at times fear that our situation is never going to really change. We're just going to keep fighting this battle. We're going to keep having these struggles. Egypt is always going to be in our rearview mirror, pursuing us. No matter what we do, we keep having these same problems. These are realities for us. And Moses says to all of us, in the face of these challenges and fears, he says, choose faith in the midst of your fear. Moses says, watch what God will do. You will see God open a door that you didn't think was possible. You will see God make a way through the sea so that you can walk on dry ground. You will experience His salvation in this situation. All you need to do is stand firm, choose faith. The Lord will fight for you. The third key to breaking out of ruts and gaining momentum is what we find in verses 15 through 18. Look at what it says here. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry out to me? Tell the Israelites to go forward. But you, Moses, lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it, and the Israelites will walk on the dry ground. The third key is this. Here's what I see here. Never underestimate the power of simple obedience. I mean, God doesn't tell Moses to do anything that's hard to do. He says, tell the Israelites, keep moving. Don't stop. Keep the forward momentum. And Moses, you just stretch out that stick that I've given you. Just hold it up. And as Moses does this, we keep reading in the story and we see an amazing demonstration of God's power. Now, I can't explain how God does all of this. You know, sometimes we read these stories and we want to know, how did God do that? You know, how did He part that sea that way? How was this possible? But this story doesn't really answer that question for us, how God did it. It just says God did it. And it was powerful. And it was real. And the Egyptian army ultimately is defeated. And Israel didn't do a thing but walk to exercise faith. You know, the thing that really gets me is that that God doesn't need Moses or his stick in this story to do what he does. But he chooses to use them. Why? Because God loves his kids. He loves us. And he chooses to use us. And the thing is it's not about us. It's about God. It's about what God can do through us. And so God does this amazing thing, and the Israelites, they exit. And it seems like the story is finished. Everyone lives happily ever after, right? Wrong. I mean, there are a few more chapters of Israel wandering around in the wilderness here. And we're going to just see some of those other failings next week as we come back and look at the wilderness testings. So what's our takeaway from all of this? Here's the thing for Israel. They seem to have won the battle at the moment. But they are still fighting the war. And here's the thing for us. We are at such an advantage on our side of history because of Jesus. You know, when we look in the New Testament, we look at the life of Paul in the letter of the book of Romans. And we see Paul in chapter 5 as he talks about how we can struggle to gain momentum in our Christian life and live free of the old life. Listen to what Paul writes in Romans 5, 8 through 10. He says, "But God proves His love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That's the gospel, the core of the gospel. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 9, "Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by His blood, we will be saved through Him from the wrath of God." And listen to this. "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son." In other words, Paul's saying, we were saved through Jesus' death on the cross. We were brought out of Egypt. But there is work to be done to get Egypt out of us. Listen to what he says. "So we have been reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more surely have we been reconciled, will we be saved by His life." You see, what we have is we have the resurrection life of Jesus that's part of our story. And it changes our hearts. It empowers our living in such a way that the Israelites, they could only dream of. They never fully experienced that level of freedom in their walk on their side of history. And so Paul goes on in Romans chapter 7, and in this chapter he talks about this, his own inner battle with the old ways. He says, "There's a battle raging within me, and that which I want to do, I don't do. And that which I don't want to do, I find myself keep falling in the rut of doing." He says, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this?" But thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, who gives me the freedom and the power to live free of those old ways. Now, I'm paraphrasing some of that seventh chapter. And then in Romans 8, Paul goes on to say this: "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." You see, what Paul is getting at is he's saying that sin still remains a part of our life, but it doesn't have to reign any longer. It doesn't have to practice dominion over us. And then in verses 5 through 11, Paul goes on to talk about how it's important what we set our minds on. When we face this struggle, it's important what we think, what we believe, and what we hold on to in our thinking. He says, in our weakness, we want to go back to Egypt, to the old battles, but what we need is power to win the war and to live the new life. What are you setting your mind on? You see, we come to church for an hour or two a week. What do we do with the other 166 hours that every one of us have in our week? Are you tuned in to God at any other time outside of church? What are you watching? What are you listening? What are you setting your mind on? What is the nature of your conversations? Is God a part of any of that equation? You see, what you feed the most will win. If you feed sin and those old struggles and old habits, well, those things will gain dominion over you. But if you feed on the Word of God, if you feast on the presence of Jesus in the midst of your battles, you will be strengthened. You will be renewed. Church, we need that to gain momentum. What are you feeding the most? The old man or woman or the new person that Christ wants to empower you to be? Therein lies our challenge as we go forward this week. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your word that reminds us of how we gain freedom and momentum in our walk with you. God, the life can be hard. We know that there's an enemy pursuing us. But God, we thank you for the teachings of your word that teach us to stand firm, to choose faith over our fears. God, we thank you for your word that reminds us that sometimes we need to just keep doing the next right thing. We just need to keep walking in obedience, to keep setting our mind on you. You will give us the freedom we need, the clarity that we seek, the open doors that we long for into this life of freedom that you have promised to us. So help us, strengthen us in these things, we pray, for the sake of Jesus. Amen. Amen.